In Luke chapter number 1, we read in your hearing this morning, we'll read again in verse number 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth was humbled by this experience, wasn't she? She didn't feel like that she was the one that deserved a visit from the mother of her Lord. But she certainly appreciated that visit. And honestly, when you think about it tonight, Christmas should humble every one of us. It should cause us to have the kind of spirit that Elizabeth did. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as I read that verse in verse number 45, Elizabeth bound to be thinking, you know, there was a day that John come in from the temple, said, honey, actually he didn't say anything, did he? When he come in, he was dumb. Just thought about that. He couldn't speak. Ain't that right? We'll get into that in a minute. But I believe in sign language or some way or another, you can understand the news that John had received from the angel. How many believes he found a way to share that with Elizabeth? I do too. I believe he found, you know, I don't know if he took a basketball and shoved it up under his shirt or what he done. Amen. But he found some way to communicate with Elizabeth. You want to have a baby. So Elizabeth could say, you know what? What the angel told, what Gabriel told my husband is so. So Mary, you can count on it, honey. If God said it, it's going to happen just like he said. Amen. What a blessing that kind of faith is. This morning we looked at a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, and then we're looking at the certainty of those things which are most surely believed among us. How many believes that the Word of God is certain? That if God said it, I mean, it's certain, buddy. It's etched. It's more than etched in stone. It's etched in heaven. The Bible said the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so there's the certainty of those things. Now we begin to look at some of these things this morning. We looked at a couple of things. We most surely believe that we can put ourselves in a position. God is no respecter of persons. So if Elizabeth and Zacharias could put themselves in a position to receive that blessing from the Lord, then you and I can live our life in such a way, put ourselves in a position to receive what God has for us in our lives. I think in heaven, sometimes we're going to understand then all that God wanted to do for us and see that maybe because we didn't position ourselves right to receive that blessing, we missed out on a lot of God's blessings. And then this morning, the second thing, we most surely believe that our age does not limit God in his desire to bless us and use us for his glory. God wants to use us whether we're young, whether we're old. Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in years. I tried to look up in Josephus and every source that I could find, and I couldn't find anything in concrete. You must have looked too, didn't you, Brother Brian? Amen. He's back here saying, nope, buddy, I couldn't find it either. So we just have to take God's word that we will say this. They had to be up in years enough that this was not something that was just going to naturally happen, because the Bible does say here that with God, all things are possible. And so it was because of the promise of God that Elizabeth was to bear a son, and his name was to be called John. I want to look at some more things tonight in the message and try to be mindful of the time and the Lord. But I want us to go down, if we will, to verse number 13 in the chapter tonight. And the Bible said, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Now, there would be a difference between telling Zechariah, "Thy prayers are heard," and telling Zechariah, "Thy prayer is heard." Now, I'm going to say this tonight, not dogmatically, but I'm going to say that this preacher emphatically believes that this man in Israel had prayed over and over and over and over and over again that God would give his precious wife a baby. Because you understand, in these days, that was kind of a shame not to be able to have a baby. And it was kind of a looked down upon. And a lot of people thought, well, if you can't have a baby, you don't have favor with God. So I believe that Elizabeth, because of what did the Bible say later on? She talks about God's took away my reproach. You remember that? My reproach. So I don't believe it's out of the box to believe that over and over and over, Brother Steve, that Zacharias was on his knees saying, "Oh God, if it could be pleasing in your sight, give us a baby." And the Bible said, "Thy prayer is heard." Now, there's something here tonight I believe we ought to be specific when we pray. Amen. I believe he's talking about here a particular prayer. And you say, "Preacher, I don't understand why." The Bible said, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." I believe that the angel was saying, hey, how many believes there are bound to have been times when John thought he was wasting his breath? I know I've prayed at times and thought I was wasting my time and wasting my breath. But I want you to know, when we're praying to the God of heaven in the Spirit of God and asking for the will of God, we're not wasting our breath, and we're not wasting our time. We're not wasting God's time either. So the third thing in the message, we most surely believe that God hears and answers prayer. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, we're talking about a babe that's going to leap in his mama's womb. We're talking about Jesus saying, hey, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. If we truly believe tonight that God hears and answers prayer, that ought to put a spring in our step. That ought to cause us to pray. That ought to cause us to go on and seek the face of God. That ought to cause us, beloved, to believe him in this generation that we live in. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The Bible said here, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." I'm going to tell you something right now. When people get in on the blessings of God, it not only affects their families, but it affects people around them as well. Notice, if you will, in verse number 25 tonight. The Bible said here in verse number 25, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." I'll tell you, Elizabeth was happy. Zacharias was happy. And God was happy. Gabriel was happy. And beloved, tonight, you and I ought to be happy because we can say with certainty, God hears and answers prayer. Those are those things which are most not only declared among us, but most certainly believed among us. Let's go on in verse number 15. The Bible said, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." I couldn't help myself this morning when I read this again. I read it before I went to bed last night, the whole chapter, read it again this morning when I got up. I couldn't help but think how many parents in this world are missing it. They might want their children to be great in the sight of the coach. They might want their children to be great in the sight of the pastor. They might want their children to be great in the sight of the principal. They might want their children to be great in the sight of the dean of the college. But I'll tell you something right here that I believe we need to aim for, and that's that they're great in the sight of the Lord. I don't believe there's a higher calling on the earth. I'll get to this in a minute. Let me read on. "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor drink or strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The fourth thing that God gave me was, we most surely believe that God, listen, God uses human instruments to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, there's some places you can preach that and they'll say it's heresy. But I'm telling you, God uses men and women just like you and I to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we send the missionaries. That's why we print the gospel tracts. That's why we sing the songs. That's why we have services. That's why we go visiting. We're trying to get somebody else to go with us to the city of God. The Bible said, notice here, there's several things here. You say, "Preacher, do you believe that God uses human instruments?" Let me ask you this question. Justin, you saved, son? Was there a human instrument involved? Probably more than one. But most of the time when we think there's one, it just sticks out. Am I right or am I wrong? Brother Gary, you saved? Was there a human instrument involved? How many believes God could use the cows if he wanted to? He could use the horses if he wanted to. He already used the donkey in the Word of God. We see that. But he chooses to use you and I, human instruments. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about it's Christmas. What if we all, I know the crowd's down a little bit tonight, but thank God for every one of us that are here. What if every one of us that are here went out of those doors tonight and said, "God, use me this week. I'm just a human instrument, but I've got someone holy living inside of me. Help me to be a blessing to someone and maybe introduce someone to what Christmas is really all about." About Jesus. About forgiveness, about knowing him in the free pardon of sin. Boy, that's a blessing to my heart. Let me give you a couple things right now. If God's going to use the human instrument, number one, the human instrument needs to be separated. Now, that's a doctrine you don't hear much anymore, but it's still a Bible doctrine. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean separated?" Well, God's going to use John, but he said he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's not going to drink wine nor strong drink. There's going to be something different about John. He's going to come out from among the world. He's not going to be of the world. Jesus said, "You're in the world, but you're not of the world." Number one, if God's going to use a human instrument, he's looking for a human instrument that will be separated. I know there's all kinds of stupid stuff been preached down through the years. I'm talking about Baptist pulpits. They preached against wearing wire rim glasses. God help us. That's not what I'm talking about. That's man-made junk. Amen. That's a bunch of junk. But in this Bible, God tells us how he wants his children to live. I still believe that God wants a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And I don't believe He wants His children to be mixed up about it. And He don't want anybody else when they look at us to be mixed up about it. I'm just telling you that God uses human instruments, but He's looking for an instrument that's separated. Something different. It's not happened many times in my life, but it's a humbling experience. When somebody walks up to you and says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I've had people get on the elevator and say, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I wasn't carrying a Bible. I wasn't even wearing a tie many times. Sometimes it's just our attitude. You say, "Preacher, do you hum?" Yes, I'm merciful to people in the elevator. But most people recognize the tune to Amazing Grace. Amen. God wants us to know that He uses. I'm asking for a show of hands. How many most surely believe that tonight? That God uses human instruments to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Sister Shelby, you saved tonight. Has that human instrument already come into your heart and mind as I've been preaching? Was there one? I used to go down those cells, Brother Rose, and talk to those men, knock on the door. Some of them didn't have bars. They had them solid steel doors with a little glass in them. And I would ask those men, "Is there somebody in your family or a friend or a loved one that knows God and loves God and prays to the God of heaven?" And I can't remember ever, Brother Wayne, ever talking to somebody said no. And what's sad is that in our generation, most of the time, they don't say, "It's my mama," or "It's my daddy." But in the generation we live in, they have to go back to, "It's my grandmother," or "It's my grandfather," or "It's my aunt," or "It's my uncle." 9 out of 10 times, there's a generation lost. And I said, "You mean to tell me you believe your grandmother?" "Oh, I know she prayed for me. I know she's still praying for me." I tell them, "You know what you're looking at? I'm standing there with the Bible. I'm standing there with the gospel." And I tell them, "Do you know what you're looking at? You're looking at an answer to your grandmother's prayer." Amen. Grandmother's praying, "God, send somebody to tell my boy, to tell my girl about Jesus. I can't get to them. Send somebody." God uses human energy. Number one, separated. Number two, watch this now, Spirit-filled. The Bible said He'll be filled with the Spirit of God. I tell you why I believe in my life that I'm not more sensitive to the need of the souls of men than I am. It's because I'm not more sensitive to the sweet Spirit of God that lives in me than I am. To be Spirit-filled means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That when I get up, He's the one directing through that day. How many believes He might just direct us to somebody that needs Jesus this week? Human instrument. Now listen, there's a danger when you talk about a human instrument of saying, "Well, what are you talking about? Those high pressure people that come along and well, the third thing here is you've got somebody separated, you've got somebody spirit filled, but you've got somebody that's a soul winner because He's going to turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord His God. They're going to turn, my friend, from the law, and they're going to turn to the grace of God." That's what they're going to do. They're going to turn to Jesus. There's a danger when you start talking about a human instrument. There's a danger somebody thinking, "Man, I got this." No, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything. Without Him directing us, without Him empowering us. It wasn't just John's words that day when he looked at Herod and said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." It wasn't just words. Honey, it was the power of God behind those words. It made them mad. God's word will make some people glad, and God's word will make some people mad. Our job is to share God's word and to realize that God uses human instruments. He said, "Preacher, why'd you say that? Because to me, that's a blessing. Do you understand what a blessing it is to think that the likes of him, Brother Kevin, can use the likes of you, the likes of me, to make a difference in somebody else's life? How many believes that's Bible? That's Bible. Let's go on. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I'm not sure I believe that. Well, Zacharias wasn't either. Maybe, Brother Gary, you know when Zacharias, what's this here? I want to show you something. It's kind of, it's similar, but it's altogether different. Watch this. Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? If I could put that in East Tennessee vernacular, Zacharias is saying to the angel something like this. How do I know you're telling me the truth? How do I know, Mr. Gabriel, that you're telling me the truth? And the word of God said here, for I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. I'm not trying to be mean, but isn't it possible that the reason a lot of God's people are dumb is because they don't believe either? I am not trying to be mean, but is it possible that the reason we never speak a word for Christ, the reason we're never trying to be a witness, never trying to get someone to come to church, come to Sunday school, come to the Lord, be a blessing to somebody else, because we don't believe that God uses human instruments to make a difference in the lives of others? It's a good question, I think. Zacharias ended up dumb. That's not talking about lacking intelligence. That's talking about he couldn't say anything. He had lockjaw. He couldn't say a thing. Watch this now. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day which these things shall be performed. Believe, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I really feel like I need to find this. I need to find this. I don't have a note of it. It's about Mary. Okay. There was a different way that it was put, and I didn't make a note of it. But Mary, it's a similar situation. Let's go right here. Okay, here it is. Thank God he let me see it. Look at verse 34. Well, let's look at verse 33. Well, let's look at verse 31. Let's look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Same angel. Good news. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, look at the difference here. She didn't say, whereby shall I know this? How do I know you're telling me the truth? That's not it, Brother Steve. What does she say? Look right here what Mary said. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She wasn't saying to Gabriel, I don't believe it. She was saying, could you help me to understand how this is going to come about? You see it right there. How shall this be? You know, Gabriel, I'm sure you're pretty smart and I'm pretty smart. And usually there's not a baby unless a man and a woman. So would you tell me, Gabriel, it's not that I doubt you, but tell me how this is going to happen, please. See the difference between what she said to the angel and what Zacharias said to the angel. Hers did not reflect unbelief. It just reflected an inquisitive spirit. Tell me how it's going to happen. Let me ask you something. If you'd never heard Bible preaching, you didn't have a Bible and you hadn't read it, and somebody walked up to you and said, you must be born again, wouldn't it be fair enough for you to say to them, can you tell me how can this be? What do you mean born again? That's kind of what Nicodemus did, wasn't it? He said to Jesus, can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? If you and I had never heard of the new birth, never heard a gospel message, never read the Word of God, we might have. That didn't mean Nicodemus didn't believe Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, I need some more information. How is it possible to be born again? And I see the difference, and I hope that you see the difference. Yes, they both have a question, but one is out of unbelief. It's out of doubt. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel didn't hold it against her. He just explained. In verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And the angel went ahead and said, listen, I got more good news. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called, I like that was, don't you? That's past tense. Who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I believe that verse of scripture right there applies both to Mary and to Elizabeth. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And I also believe it applies to you and I. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I want to encourage you tonight. I feel like the Lord would have us to kind of crank it down right here. But I want to encourage you tonight to believe what's being taught in this chapter. Let God put a spring in your step. Let God put a leap in your step. Let God help you to shout it out, realizing that the likes of Him wants to use the likes of you and the likes of me. We should be concerned about our children. We should be concerned about our grandchildren. But we should be concerned about other people's children and other people's grandchildren. We should be concerned about everybody that Jesus is concerned about. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, let me go through these tonight. I'm not doing a poll like Donald Trump, but let me go through these tonight and just ask you to say amen. Do you believe that we can put ourselves in a position to receive the blessing from God? I do too. The things the Bible said that we most certainly believe. I begin to look at this chapter, and that's one of the things the Lord spoke to my heart about. Do you believe that our age, do you certainly believe that our age does not limit God and His desire to bless us and use us for His glory? How many believe that tonight? Do you believe tonight that God hears and answers prayer? How many say, preacher, I most certainly believe that tonight. How many has ever doubted that besides me? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to take great men like Abraham. There's lapses. Zacharias, Brother Rose, was a righteous man. He served God. He loved God. And yet there was a lapse here. Looks like Brother Steve, that maybe when the angel told him that, he would have said, hallelujah, buddy. When's this going to happen? But you can also see the human side. God lets us see. What He lets us see if we'll look is ourselves in the mirror. We're not always believing God like we should be. Trusting God like we should be. But we most certainly believe that God hears and answers prayers. How many can say tonight that you most surely believe, certainly, that God uses human instruments to make ready? Brother Andy, you saved tonight? Was there a human instrument involved? Brother Houston, are you saved tonight? I believe one of them instruments sitting alongside of you, ain't you, brother? Gwen said, I ain't gonna marry no heathen. Johnny, are you saved tonight? Can you say emphatically, Johnny, that yes, there was a human instrument? All them years with the teenagers, John, you're just trying to be a human instrument to make a difference. And you were in somebody's life. Bob, are you saved tonight, son? I don't know all the human instruments, but I'll guarantee your dad was used of the Lord in your life. I know your dad, and I love your dad. His dad loves Jesus. Sister Helen, are you saved tonight? Was there a human instrument involved? Aubrey's not here tonight, is she? She was here this morning. Coming out of Sunday school one Sunday morning, she told the rest of the girls, they must have been, what, 8 or 9 of them? Said, y'all go on. I'll catch up with you. They got out of there. She shut the door, turned around, bawling to Sister Gwen and Sister Helen, said, I got to get saved. Aubrey had enough confidence in those two ladies, Brother Gary, that they wouldn't steer her wrong. She wanted to talk to somebody that she thought could get a hold of Jesus and point her to him. Jessica, are you saved tonight, honey? Was there a human instrument involved? Amen. Simple truth, isn't it? But how many believes it's overlooked a lot? God wants us to be, what did Paul call it? In, I think it was in Corinthians, instruments of righteousness. God wants to make human instruments out of you and I to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what's sad? And I'm being honest now tonight. I'm not the oldest among the preachers. But what's sad is sometimes I look back in my life and I preach that a whole lot stronger than I preach it today. Because as you go through life, sometimes you see people that are like Zacharias. They really just don't believe that. Amen. That's the deacon's job. Ralph Roberts, that's your job. That's a preacher's job. No, it's every one of us's job. Every one of us. That's the missionary's job. Brother Grizzle, we could support every missionary in the world, and it wouldn't relieve us of our duty to be an instrument in the hand of an almighty God. Sister Peggy, are you saved tonight? Was there a human instrument involved? That's not taken away from Jesus. The Bible didn't say that John was going to take Jesus' place. He said he's going to turn him to him. He's going to say, it ain't me. You get into John chapter number 1. I'm not that light. I'm just sent to bear witness of that light. I'm just here to point you to him. Point you to him. How many's glad you come? How many's ready to go out the week before Christmas? And let her light so shine. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. You might consider some innovative ways maybe to witness this week. Walk up to somebody and say, what does Christmas mean to you? What are you celebrating on the 25th? Sometimes I think even when we have a zeal to be a witness, we miss the importance of just stopping and listening to other people. If we'll listen a few minutes, Brother Wayne, you listen to them inmates a few minutes, they'll tell you exactly where they're at, won't they, brother? If you'll just listen to them a few minutes, they'll tell you exactly where they're at. Or celebrating the birth of Jesus. Well, that's good. How come he was born? What made his birth so different? How many believes he was born to die that we might live? Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's pray together. Father, I sure do appreciate your people. I appreciate the strength, God, that you've given us. You know, Lord, it was in my heart last night. I didn't even know if I could make it through two services today. And I just almost called someone to see if they'd preach tonight. Lord, I'm glad for the strength that you give. I'm glad, Lord, this is not something that I have to do, but it's something I get to do. It's something I want to do better, Lord. I pray, Lord, tonight, you'd help us as we go out of these doors this week to realize we're entering into, even right here in the middle of the Bible Belt, we're entering into a mission field that's wide open. Help us to be a light. Help us, Lord. Lord, it may just be an act of kindness. It may be letting somebody with a great old big buggy go in front of us when we just got a little buggy. That caused them to scratch their head. They would have an opportunity to tell them about our Lord. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd bless your people. Help us, Father, to never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Help us, Lord, to walk humbly with you, not just this week, but every week. And God, help us that we might make a difference in someone else's life. Use us, our Father, as instruments in the hands of a mighty God to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.